Welcome to the Pixie Game Podcast, your place for in-depth breakdowns of characters, video games themselves, and how they make me, my guests, and all of us feel. And today is the last ever Pixie Partner Up Podcast. Aww. We've come to an end of the first kind of phase of what me and Luca are going to be doing on this podcast anyway, so it'll be interesting to see what happens next. So I'll talk a little bit about that later on, but today is about rounding off what we have done, basically. And sort of overview Pixie Partner Up, but we'll start as we always do, mate, on our one normally, which is, what have you been up to?
Well, obviously with the release of Call of Duty, I think that's my big input now, so FIFA's proper tailed off. I haven't even touched that, literally. As soon as COD come out, I was straight on that. Loving it, it's really good. Obviously, I said to you, I think, a couple of weeks back when it first came out, I was like, as soon as it came out, that I realised it was a COD game. I don't know if people just enjoy camping or coming from Apex onto COD. I found a very big speed slowdown, if you will.
Huge learning curve.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I played all the CODs, but I've put a lot into this. Well, I'm going to put a lot into this one. The others, I sort of, they tailed off again. FIFA took over again, that sort of thing. Apex come in.
Yeah.
So with this one, coming from Apex, where at the speed you've got to move with a circle and just having a COD map, you just know it's a COD game. It's actually mad how much different they are, all shooters.
Yeah, it is really weird.
Obviously, I've been playing a lot of Battle Royales, let alone just Apex.
Yeah.
So obviously, going on to a, I don't know what you'd class it as, like an objective-based game rather than a Battle Royale, I found it quite hard to adapt to. But, you know, I'm not positive. I'm 0.95 on my KD.
Oh,
so it's not the worst, it's not the best, it's quite shit really, but it's something I can work on.
You'll turn it around in time, that's for sure. It's just a huge, huge learning curve going from something that's so fast paced, so like, I don't know, it's so much easier. Like,
yeah, go on, yeah.
I literally find Apex so much easier. Like just being able to get shot, go around a corner, shield up, get ready, go for it. Rather than this, you dare to poke your head out.
But now I've played COD and gone back to Apex, I'm winning more on Apex.
Okay.
So it's a bit weird. It's like, I don't know if it's the accuracy thing, because obviously you have to be like that in COD, else you're just going to die straight away.
Yeah.
So my accuracy within shooters have got better using COD, but obviously, I suppose my gunplay has as well.
Yeah, you know, definitely.
Just keeping the recoil of stuff and like that. Because obviously R99s and all that, all over the shot. So that has helped in another game, but it hasn't helped coming from a quicker game to a slower game.
Yeah.
For sure.
But you've enjoyed it, most importantly.
Oh my God, yeah. I'm enjoying this one. This is the thing, I'm enjoying it.
It feels like, to me, like Call of Duty's back.
Yeah.
Like it's back how being it used what, to be. Yeah, what we spoke about where, on your very first podcast, which was about like how much you played, how many days playing time you had. I don't know how many days playing time I'm going to have on this, but it's going to be hefty.
I'm on about 12 hours already.
Yeah, I'm on about 14 to 15 or something, and I just absolutely love it.
It's like, great. Cannot it get good fun.
It. Like, literally love it. And it just feels so much like Call of Duty used to. Like,
don't
it's that
know.
Kind of, like the guns we like we always said, the kill streaks, everything. It's just like,
back.
Oh, it just feels so perfect.
I should have done it sooner though, I think.
I literally pray though that they don't change it too much. So that's the hope, is that they don't end up messing around.
I mean, all the DLCs for it as well, that's something they're bringing back in it and stuff like that. But I've seen on the menu there's that store, so I don't know what's going to be brought in regards.
Yeah.
Something's going to come
hopefully out. Hopefully aesthetics, mainly.
Yeah.
So favourite gun?
Favourite gun? Obviously, I'm using the M4. I think we both really like that weapon at the moment. But
and
I'm really going for the Kilo. Yeah, I'm really going for the Kilo as well.
Okay,
I'm using that quite a lot. Yeah. And I'm trying to get snipers down, because I used to use snipers all the time on the COD 4.
Yeah.
And now I'm just amateur compared to some of the players. So going back to snipers and, probably the Kilo and the M4. Always an assault rifle sort of player.
Yeah. Anything else you're playing at the moment?
Anything else I'm playing? Nothing. Literally, that's all I play.
So, as we're pretty much, I've Borderlands gone out the window for me. FIFA, barely hanging on to. Skyrim's gone out the window for me. Like, literally, all I can do is think about COD. So, favourite map?
Oh, I do like Piccadilly. And I do like, Hackney Yard.
I think that's because it's in the
beta, so I think I've got used to it playing it the most. So, yeah, those two are my favourite. I had my 13-0 on the search attraction, the Piccadilly. Nice. It's still my highest kill streak in a search game. That's outrageous.
My highest kill streak overall is 10, and that's in a team deathmatch. Let alone on search.
Don't know what happened, mate. Know what happened.
Literally, all just fell into your sights.
Literally.
Kill streaks, anything like that? Anything else?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Re-standing out?
I haven't tried care package yet, and I think that could be quite useful. I think standard UAV, precision airstrike I run, and the chopper gunner. So obviously, I think that's quite bog standard, because in the original COD, that's all you had. The free kill streak set. So I'm not the sort of player that goes out and gets a bloody 15 kill streak, 12 kill streak, gets the VTOL, and I'm like, nah. So I've stuck with what I know is going to help. Yeah. And I know the UAV and the precision airstrike are 1 point off of each. Well, it's one kill, they've gone back to kills, because it used to be points, didn't it? So I like that. But I'm going to try the care package out, because obviously you can get anything from that. And obviously it gives a bit of variation, doesn't it?
I've debated going to that. I've been using the UAV and the sentry gun, like the not the one that auto targets, but the one you hold yourself.
One you can hold.
Although I don't use it much, I often have it, and I'm like, oh, it's not the right time to use it, and then
it's hard to set it up.
Although when I actually have used it, it's been quite fruitful. Like, I've got quite a few kills off.
I can imagine.
Just because that it's got that, if you set it up in the right place, it's got like plating around the side, so you can't get shot very easily, which is good. Literally, I'm loving team deathmatch. I've tried a little bit of ground war, can't get on with it as well.
Ground war's alright, but it just reminds me of Battlefield. That is all it screams at me.
What it screams at me is that Call of Duty have made Battlefield null and void. Like, when I started it the other day, and there's tanks going off and everyone's running around, and you can see the C and B in the view. I'm like, geez, like, why would you buy Battlefield now?
Well, you can have it all in one.
It's got all in one, which is really, really cool. And obviously, just to sort of touch on before we move on, is we play little doubles together, which was good fun.
Gunfight, good fun. I'm going to play that later as well.
Yes. it's that classic thing that we spoke about right in the beginning, where, you know, we spoke about one of the best feelings in video games is having that kind of, you know, your boys are on the mic, even if it's just me and you, you and someone else, and it's that last second, getting that kill, winning that round, whatever it is, like when the heat's on, 2-1, or even if it's just like 6-all or 5-all or whatever, it's like literally this, the heat, isn't it, of having one life.
It's the pressure of it. Yeah, I think we've always said that one life thing's great, and it is good. Like, we played a few and we did all right, actually.
We did as bad as I thought.
It's harder because COD's very much for me. When we played Team Deathmatch together, it was very much you'd set up, take out whoever, whereas I was just running in, dying, or get to die. So that's the difference in players we are, that's for sure.
I've had to, though, because I was so awful before, and my KD has always just been such a stressor for me in my mind. So, like, I started off about a 1.20, and then went down to a 1.0, and then managed to wrestle it back up to a 1.10 now.
Yeah.
But when we play that doubles in a minute, because we're about to go off and play some COD now.
Yeah.
That will be when it goes back down again, because it's hard to get a good KD.
It's hard to get a good KD. Yeah, when it's just, like, say, 2-on-2, you haven't, and it's one life.
Yes.
You know, once they've gone, that's that round over.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
but absolutely loving it. Another thing, two things to mention just before we move off of this segment is, number one, Apex Duos are out tomorrow.
Yes.
We hope to get an Apex Duo win, of which I'll probably post on my Instagram and everywhere else.
We will.
And hopefully get some clips of it or whatever if we can. Although, actually, I don't know how to clip and post to YouTube on my Xbox. With Apex, I have to play on my Apex, on my Xbox, because there's no cosplay yet. But hopefully one day.
It will.
And Apex will keep rolling on. It'd be interesting to play Apex Duos. That's what I've always said since we started the podcast together, is I really want duos in it. You've got your solos, but I haven't had my duos yet, so that will come through tomorrow. So it'll be interesting to see how we do at that. And obviously, finally, it is just to say that obviously on the talk of Call of Duty, get used to it, because we're starting a Call of Duty podcast.
Yes, we are.
So I'm stopping after this podcast for a month due to the fact that my partner in crime has, you know, is going to be
got a thing on its way.
Got a thing on its way, and he won't be around for a while because he'll be looking after the little one.
Yeah.
So I will be sort of redesigning the studio and doing everything that I can do to sort of ready myself for, I guess, what I'm going to call Pixie Phase 2, which is going to be putting a bit more effort in and trying to be a bit more professional with it and come up with some newer, cooler ideas, because I guess this has sort of run its course in a way. So
yeah.
Yeah, well, there will be a Call of Duty podcast with me and Luke on it, and there will also be another podcast called Luke's Lowdown, where it's just going to be like us now, where we're just chatting about what we're playing and what we're up to, and then do like a lengthier, more thought-out Rise Randoms, basically. So that'll be like a little shorter podcast, and then the COD one will probably be a bit longer, because we'll be going through not only mobile, but we'll be going through like all the patch notes, and what's the best guns, and what's the best tactics, and what's the best game modes, and what we've been playing, and all this kind of stuff. And I'll be doing best class setups and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing.
On that, which I look really, really forward to. So, this has been the last ever What's In Play on this day. And we now move on to the last ever once again.
Yes.
Pixie Partner Up. Welcome back to the PC Game Podcast. I'm once again controlling the camera and doing everything, so it's a little bit all over the shop. And I'm not sure whether it's a bit wonky, although I've probably just pointed it out now. So beforehand, you probably didn't notice it, but it's slightly wonky. And now it's going to annoy you for the rest of the video. Final ever Pixie Partner Up. Now, yes. We haven't done a game. The last game we done was Age Odyssey. And that was the final game that we are going to do. Perhaps Pixie Partner will come back one day or whatever, but at the moment we're going to go through the list and crown our best ever, in our opinion, co-op game for you to play if you are so inclined. So, we have the list of everything we got and all of our scores, mine and Luke's, but what we wanted to talk about basically was that to begin with, especially with the likes of Army of Two and Star Wars and stuff at the very, very beginning, was we almost hesitated with our score in a way.
Yeah, because we thought something better would come up. Yeah. And I think, you know, like you said, this chance is going to let us maybe have a look over and, okay, this could be better. This is definitely worse than that.
Yeah, and maybe relive some memories of it as well. Yes. So, Lego Star Wars.
Lego Luke Christ. Gave it... I remember that far back. Yeah.
Luke gave it a 5 out of 10. I gave it a 6 out of 10. I remember it being fun. I remember it being all right, but it was neither in or there, was it?
I think, yeah, I'm happy with my score. I think it is in the middle. It wasn't horrendous. And it wasn't the best. Yeah. But again, we had fun. But what we wanted from it wasn't everything there, if you know what I mean. Yeah. So there wasn't all the communication. There wasn't all that. And also the camera we found.
The camera was really annoying because it kept pulling us either side of the screen and stuff like that. But we do love Star Wars. So that was, I think, what dragged it up a bit
Definitely.
And there was that really cool bit where we were those speeders and you could grab those balls and take them along. Which was really fun.
That was good.
And that required a bit of communication between us and stuff like that. So I might up mine to a 7. I'm going to go for a 7 instead of a 6 because I definitely think there was moments, definitely when I was thinking about those snow speeders, and even when we were taking out those AT-ATs on half and flying, especially the flying missions that were really quite fun. Army of Two. Now, Army of Two. One thing I have to stress about it is that we kept using it as a point of reference this whole time for being partner game. Everything we played was just like, oh yeah, it's not like Army of Two where you need each other every single like, and then like, you know, we kept referring to it all the time, which I think is actually a serious strong point to the fact that this game is really almost 100% what we wanted.
It literally was promoted as that. You have to play it with someone else. Yeah. You know? So all on the scores, obviously I've given it 7.5, you've given it an 8. I suppose on that regard I'm gonna up mine.
Yeah.
But it's because, I don't know, it was built for co-op. You could tell it was built for co-op. You could tell, you know, they tried the different screen angles because it wasn't horizontal. It was, that is horizontal, so I do apologise. Cool, but no, there was all that. So I'm going to up mine to at least an 8.5. At least give it an extra score. Like you said, we kept going back to it. It was that game that we knew was built for co-op.
Yeah.
So all shooters, especially, I was going back, did we have that? Did we have this from, obviously, Army of Two?
And so, it just was that constant reliance on each other to even, like, you know, give me a little leg up or whatever. And then it would split us up and make us cover
make
each other
and
all that
for
kind
each
of
other.
Stuff.
And that's the thing that we did love. And obviously, comparing it to the other shooters that we did, like Halo and stuff like that, we didn't have any of that. So, obviously, I don't know if I was just comparing it to the first shoot we played or built for co-op or going on what we thought. So, yeah, I've definitely up mine to an 8.5.
Yeah, and I'll go up to a 9 because I just think it was... better than an 8, that's for sure.
Because we didn't want to score it too high as well.
No, because we were hesitant once again.
Like, oh God, is that going to be better? Or
yeah,
we didn't know what we were playing.
We
did,
literally had no clue at that point. There's only a second game we ever played.
Exactly.
So, Halo 3.
Halo 3. It's just Halo franchise, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I'm happy with what I've given it. 6 out of 10. I'm happy with it just because, you know, I love Halo, but as we mentioned, it didn't feel that partner.
Really. It wasn't needed, like we said in the actual pod. We weren't needed. No one was needed. No revives. It's literally nothing. So yeah. I'm happy with my four, to be honest.
Yeah.
Individual, I gave it a bigger score, but obviously as a co-op game, it wasn't really built for it. So
yeah,
four's happy with that.
Borderlands 2.
Borderlands 2.
360.
Now, this is different because we've done the Borderlands. I'm just looking here. We did Borderlands 3 recently, and we scored that really low.
Really low. Yeah. I thought Borderlands 2 was better.
Oh, yeah, there was a lot more in Borderlands 2. But
it runs smoother, there was less like glitchiness about it. And stuff
yeah,
like
that was one of the big
And there seemed to be a slight more reliance on each other, but it still, once again, was one of those games where it felt like we were two individuals kind of thing.
I think that's the thing with shooters, though. It's hard to bring a co-op aspect into it unless you are doing the cover thing. One of you is a sniper, one of you is assault, something like that, you know?
One thing, though, that actually really stands out just as it sprung into my mind then was in Borderlands 2, we revived each other. Holy hell, a lot more than
Yes, 3. That's very true. We said that was very quick in basically the second win. So, I mean, I'm happy with the score. 8.5.
Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy with an 8, yeah. Might even bring it down to like a 7.5 because it's not one of those games where when I think of this in the future or anything, I'll be thinking, oh, Borderlands 2 is one of the standouts. Not like Army of Two or like as we say later on with the Nintendo games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So Tetris Ultimate, this was funny because that was when we can play that Hawks game that we bought in Exodus together. Because it said co-op. And it was like only online co-op or something weird.
It was different, but it was actually good. Even though it was the last minute, like, oh my god, we need to like get this sorted. Yeah. I do believe like it was a different game for one. We haven't played any other like puzzle games.
Nope.
That's the thing.
We had that weird thing where it was like you had your side, I had my side, but we had that bit. We had to share
working
in the middle,
together, and that came. Well, I'm crap at Tetris, so obviously there's a lot of shouting from your end to me. Going, come on,
yeah.
But no, in regards to that 7, I think that's average.
Yeah,
I'm happy to stick with 7.
I'm happy with that. Yeah, but it was actually like a surprising one, wasn't it?
Very.
Well, I think we both went in because we were like, oh shit, we got to do something, and then we just done Tetris because we were like, oh, it's something that's two player.
It's something there. Crisis
and then actually we're like, oh, we actually really enjoyed
it. It was good. Yeah.
And we played against Amy and the computer, didn't we?
Yeah.
Which is good fun. Broforce. Now, at the moment, Broforce is our highest rated game together.
No, it's not.
It is? Because I've got a 9.8 and you got a 9... Oh, hello. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Love is in Dangerous Space Time. Ah, yeah, fair enough. But it's our second highest. So, Broforce. Another game. We played for quite a while, actually.
Broforce, you put in.
I remember so distinctly that we got off of it and we had really communicated a lot on it.
It was
and that
great.
We were so happy. Like when we beat that boss now, we were so happy.
For that little 2D side scroller and just the variation, I think, made it fun as well. You had different heroes or whatever they were.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it was good fun, wasn't it? And I think it was one of those games, it's short and snappy, like walking around the map, different levels, quick in and out. And I loved it.
And you like the Terminate Bro or whatever and all that.
Terminator Bro.
Yeah, and you had like all the different abilities of different people from like basically like famous movies and stuff.
MacGyver and all that.
Cool.
It was sick. I don't even know what else to say about it. I just pictured it as Metal Slug, but better.
Yeah, I mean, to bring it down to a 9.5 for me because
I think
it's not the absolute best game we played, but it's right up there. It's like one of the little treasured ones. There's probably a group of four or five that we really, really, really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
So, moving on. We'll skip over Lord of the Rings Conquest because it was crap. Overcooked 2. Now,
this was really fun.
You went home and tried to convince Sarah to get it.
I honestly thought this game was, if I look at it now, I'd probably give it as one of the best.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it was one of my highest rated. It was my highest rated along with Lovers in a Stage of Good Space Time.
Both 9.5s.
The thing is, I enjoyed both. But going on Overcooked 2 after not playing it, you'd obviously played it before. I thought it was just amazing. It's just such a fun game.
It's something that you don't expect to be fun either. So coming from what like everything beforehand, where it's like shooters and you know story based games and stuff like this that we're playing, and then going to a game like this where it's just like literally preparing food.
It literally
how hilarious it is! Like we were just having so much fun.
Like, just chucking letters across the kitchen and shit.
Yeah, was, literally.
Honestly, I probably didn't even.
But there's a great sense of like reward and satisfaction out of doing it doing it well. Yeah, like, literally the same thing.
It was so, I say realistic. Obviously, kitchen wise, you were like, right, I'm going to play it up. You got nothing ready. It's just like, what is this?
Yeah, that's it.
So I just pictured, obviously, work.
Who's on pot wash? Yeah.
You had to have a pot wash, and it was so real. Honestly, I probably want to. I'm going to make it a 10, I think.
Yeah.
Out of a 9.5, I just want to make it a 10 because. Even with more people, it's even funnier, I think. So that's obviously four people max. But honestly, I had so much fun playing that game. And like I said, trying to convince the missus, but she won't have enough. And it's not one of the... I could play it on my own or go honest online, obviously. Though,
like, we need to get a group of us together and play four-player on it. Oh, it's just hilarious.
Mate, it'd be
like,
proper amazing. Quality.
But once again, as you can see, just even by our reaction now, like, it's instantly...
You just remember it, yeah.
It just makes you smile. Smash Bros. Ultimate. We'll skip over because it was crap. Mario Kart 8, we'll skip over. FIFA 19 was all right.
FIFA was good because we both played FIFA, but it was more of like just an actual in-game. If I was running on as a striker, I'd be like, in it.
Yeah.
And it was that sort of thing. So the communication was great in that. Screens have never had a problem with FIFA, have we?
No.
And it was just, the communication of, right, hold it up, whatever. You know, actual realistic chat, if you will, like as you would on a pitch. So it's nice in that regards. I have give it a 9. I'm probably going to drop that.
Yeah.
Probably going to drop it to like 7.5. So it's quite a big drop, but I think now going over everything here, we can see clearly in comparison, it wasn't as co-op as that.
No.
Well, I wasn't relying on you as much. Definitely, or something like that,
definitely in communication, it was good. Definitely in the fact that we like, did I need him? I definitely needed you playing it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't stand out as one of those like, oh my god, if I had to. You know, say what is Pixie Partner Up?
Yeah,
it's not specifically that.
FIFA,
and in regards to Overcooked 2, just to touch on it, I'll stick with my 9.6. So, Black Ops 3?
Yes.
Surprisingly good again.
Surprisingly good. Again, it's one of the Call of Duty's I did put a lot of time into, but I never played campaign anyway, so obviously going into campaign was good. But honestly, I can't remember much of the storyline. I really can't.
No,
I think it was just
the
nostalgia of playing.
Although,
Call of Duty again.
It was super cool when it like, went into that mind or whatever, when that goes in the train.
Oh,
and then
we were
playing inside a simulation.
It was,
that is
true. I mean, the story was good, but from that now you've said it, but I couldn't remember much else in regards of the gameplay, but I just knew it was, you know.
Just standard COD, really.
Standard COD, we enjoyed it. It had a bit more co-op side to it, that sort of thing. So.
But we were like the same guy and stuff. There's all that kind of stuff that,
that
made us feel less like individuals.
I mean, I'd give it an 8.5, you give it an 8.
Yeah, I'll stick with an 8.
I'm going to drop mine to probably join you on that on an 8 as well.
Yeah. It was still good though, because like we said, even when we were off camera the other day, we literally said to each other, we were like, I'll tell you what, in Black Ops 3, good. Knack, we'll skip over. And now we go to Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time. Now, I think, realistically, it's probably between this and Overcooked, 100%. To be fair.
100%.
I'm just checking what time we've got. 7 minutes.
Loads of time. Wow.
Once again, really, really good. Really, really, like, wholesome, just have a load of fun.
It was have a lot of fun, and it was... Right, so I want to put it in the same as, like, a sandbox to Overcooked, because there was stations. There were stations on this spaceship, and we only had two of us. Again, with four of you, it's probably easier, whereas Overcooked would still be as fun. So I think Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time would be a bit more relaxed if there was more players. Whereas, obviously, like I say, Overcooked and these two are definitely the big ones for
us. And they are, in a lot of ways, they are reasonably similar. And, like, you know, they've got to go and you've got to move the shield or whatever, which would be like going and cutting a lettuce or whatever it might be. And you sort of, like, run around in that similar way. It's like a two-button game, really simple. But, once again, it just ignited that constant communication.
Yeah.
We both went into it thinking, this is going to be all right. And even when it started, we were a bit like, oh. And then, you know, when we were doing the boss battles and stuff, we were like, this is fantastic.
Yeah, this was
like,
good.
Literally, it just got better.
And it was
better.
Something we'd never, well, I'd never heard of it. And it was when you've been searching, like, oh, I found this, we're going to give it a go.
Yeah.
Mate, I didn't expect it to be as good as it was, or as co-op.
I think that's the only thing that's making me lean towards it, is that I'd already heard that Overcooked 2 was quality. And I was like, oh, Overcooked 2 is going to be great, but Lovers in Dangerous Space Time, I'd like seen on like a website that was like one of those games you should try or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just like, oh, I don't know whether it's like one of those things or not. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I
and
do.
And then
agree.
When we played it, it really did knock my socks off. Like, really, really was good.
It was good fun.
But I think, I'm going to stick with my 9.8 on it. In fact, I'll make it a 9.6 because that brings me to the same as Overcooked then. And then, you know, I am unashamedly making it your decision then.
I'm going to stick with a 9.5.
Yeah, so that has almost made it concrete that it's probably going to be Overcooked 2 that's going to be our top rated game ever. But this is definitely a very, very close second.
Oh my God, like, yeah.
Almost as fun, if not more fun in some ways. And you know,
it's different games, wasn't it? It was, I don't even know what to call it. Was it a game? Would you call it a side-scrolling platformer?
I don't know. Like,
it was very different, wasn't
it? It's just an indie game, I suppose. Yeah, isn't it? It's a bit difficult to give it like a specific genre. Because I guess, like, I like the traversal, like the fact that you could like move the ship and all that kind of stuff. And you had to like watch out for asteroids and all that kind of stuff. It was really, really cool. Mario Tennis Aces. Enjoyed that.
It was just good. I think, again, it's like on the court stuff, that sort of thing. It was like, leave.
Yeah, that's
back
it.
Net play. It just brought that sort of fun into it. And I think we were talking a lot in regards to who was where. So, yeah, I'm happy with an 8.5 on that still.
Totally
happy
with that. That's solid. Solid game.
It's a solid
game.
And
if you're going to be, you know, taking any kind of influence from any of this, even if you're in the future and you're going back and watching this, like, literally, if you have a Switch, give it a go, because it's just good fun. And great obviously fun. You would have seen it on the Pixie part, the Pixie Championship as well. So, Mario Bros. U, 9.2 and a 9, which is pretty good, pretty high.
Again, it's one of those games that's promoted as a co-op.
Yeah.
You play together, they're both on the cover, literally that sort of thing. It's let's put the Mario Bros. Together again. From the start, when they got brought out together, everyone loved them. So, I'm happy with a 9.2 on mine. I've always loved the Mario games. I played them when you could only play with Mario. And then they've brought in Luigi, and they just...
Much variance in the maps, and there was so many different things, and there were certain times where I was better, certain times where you were better, where you just all like...
You had to rely on each other in regards to that.
And we had to talk to each other, to like, whoa, stop there, what's going on next, all this kind of stuff, which is really cool. And it was I think that might be the game we played the most.
We did a lot of time on that. I mean, in one session anyway, I think we did about 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, like real solid.
Which was good just sitting there and actually going through it. But it's because it had that variation. It wasn't samey at all or anything like that.
And speaking of 9.2 and 9, Mario Party.
That's exactly the same.
Which is also unbelievably excellent. Like, really, really, like, all the Nintendo games, like Overcooked 2 is a real standout of exactly met all of our points of criteria.
Yes.
But these games exactly meet them too. They're just not quite as standout in our mind.
Yeah.
Although, to be honest, it's like Mario Party was really, really good. Mm-hmm. We've got 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So, in fact, I'll stop it and start again. Mm-hmm. So we'll be right back. Bear with me. Welcome back to the Bits Game Podcast. Sorry about that. I was just had camera anxiety, given that it only stays on for 20 minutes, which is annoying. But so we got to Mario Party. Once again, like the highlight once again that stands out in my mind is the string.
Yeah.
Like moving it around, but we were playing against the computer, I suppose, and stuff like that. And I think that's the thing that stands out to me is that. In Mario Party, everything was so unbelievably exactly what we needed it to be, but it just felt like it wasn't supposed to be just for two people, rather than like Overcooked, it was like everything was relied on us, rather than like playing against a computer and stuff, like even in FIFA and these other games that are all standouts but not quite as good, we're not playing against ourselves, and like, that was what was fun about Overcooked, that we had to, literally, we were our own
enemies.
Ourselves,
yeah. We mucked up. That's it.
It catches on fire, run over with the extinguisher or whatever. But Mario Party, absolutely excellent as well. All three of them, we had. That was a really good sort of 3 weeks.
Weeks for Mario.
Just us playing the Nintendo games, and we absolutely loved every second of it. Borderlands 3?
We scored it quite low. So, obviously, I said with Borderlands 2, there was a bit more just reviving bits like that, I think.
Yeah.
So with Borderlands 3, it's like you said, you'd still play it if I wasn't there, and it wouldn't make much difference.
Yeah, it doesn't stand out in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I don't think it really had much for me. I don't know if they're going to bring stuff out.
And it didn't hit our criteria or whatever. And like, I've played it by myself, and I do recommend it. I think it's really fun.
Mm.
And I think it would be more fun probably online. But yeah, like, split screen, it was just buggy, and it just wasn't that good. Ape Odyssey, finally, which was actually a nice little one to round it off.
It was. It wasn't too stressful. It was nice and chill. Very different in regards to the co-op. It was only a one-controller-based game.
Mm.
which is the first one we did.
Yeah, so we just were swapping the controller, which I guess in a way was cheating on our rules, so we can't ever, we can't give it much higher than what we've got, I don't think, because in a way it was kind of co-op, but kind of like solo at the same time.
Yeah.
But we did have that total reliance on each other to get past certain bits, and certain that was really funny
talking,
as well.
And there was, yeah, there was a lot of bits that we did have to redo, God knows how many times, and bits like that, so...
100%.
Yeah, I'm just happy with that.
Yeah. So, in sort of conclusion, for sure, standouts were Tennis Aces, Mario Bros, Mario Party, and Broforce as well was a really good one, and Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time were like our little sort of collective, but there is one that just pokes its head out a little bit more in front of them, and that is Overcooked 2. So,
amazing.
The best couch co-op game, we think, for anybody to try and play or whatever, and our highest rated for sure, together, is Overcooked 2. And this has been a totally and utterly pleasurable experience, mate.
I love that. Thank you.
I look forward to moving on to the next podcast and potentially coming back to this one day or whatever. But
who knows, mate?
We've definitely explored enough of these games to sort of satisfy our craving for now. And hopefully, you know, at some point we reignite the couch co-op.
We will, I'm sure.
Something like that. But yes, this has been the final Pixie Partner Up segment, and we move on to Rise Random. Welcome back to the Pixie Game Podcast. A little bit more of a relaxed one today, as it is our last one, and I'm sort of rounding things up in here anyway. So
good.
I've got two Rise Randoms for you, mate. Number one is, I have a game on here that I'm not sure if I've ever played with you before.
Okay.
Called Ding Dong XL.
Right.
Okay, have you ever played it?
No.
Okay, so Ding Dong XL is basically a game where you play as a dot between two sticks.
Mm-hmm.
A bit like Pong, looks a tiny bit like Pong. And as you go between the two of them, you get a point.
Yeah.
And things go past,
right,
like obstacles,
yeah,
and you have to time it right to go up and down.
Okay.
All right? So we're going to play a best of three against each other, see who gets the highest score.
Right.
I'll start off and show you what it's like. I will pause the camera for now. I will just quickly show a bit of, I don't know whether it's even going to pick up on here. But as you can see, dot in the middle, obstacles going by, and you basically just go up and down to get points. So, we'll have a quick best of three on this, and we'll see how Luke does, and we'll be right back. So, Luke's having his first go. He's already on a mean score of 17. How are you finding it, mate?
It looks easy.
It's really not.
No, I can imagine it gets difficult.
He's on a 24 already, though. 27, 28, 29. He's nailing it. He's doing really well. This is his first ever go as well. We've not, you've never played this game before.
Never in my life.
But as you stay on it, look, you get bigger. So the longer you stay on it,
the circle gets bigger.
Yeah.
Ah.
You get bigger, which is actually a donut I've got the little emoji of. And you can pick up the power-ups as well, which is cool. But yes, we'll be right back with the result. Welcome back to the Pixie Game Podcast. And Luke just ruined me 2-0 on... I went a little bit risky, I'm going to say that, for sure.
Oh, here we go. Oh, went a bit risky.
Yeah, I did. And I thought, you know, time is of the essence. I'm going to try and get stuck in.
Time is of the essence.
And, you know, thanks to beginner's luck, Luke's pulled through. But Rise Random number two, mate.
Yes.
On our final Pixie Partner Up podcast. So, and I've done this before, or something similar.
Yeah.
So, you've got... And I'm going to relate this now to the fact that you have an upcoming baby on the way.
Oh,
sir.
Christ.
So
yeah.
You've got look after your baby,
or
camping trip,
sorry,
or fight.
Yeah.
And you've got a Gerudo, a Zora, or a Goran, which are the three, you know, one of them's the one that says no foe or whatever when you can't get into the ladies' place. One of them is the fish people, and one of them is the rock people from... Yeah.
Zelda.
So, which one of them is going to look after your baby? Which one of them are you going to go on a camping trip with? And which one of them do you fancy yourself in a fight against?
Okay, so look after the baby would be Azoras.
Okay.
Because they're so nice and placid.
They are placid.
I'd go camping with all the women just to try. You never know what could happen on a camping trip. And I'd try and fight a rock. That's basically what they are. So.
Okay, fair enough. Second is Lifeline, Pathfinder, and Caustic.
Fuck, I'm gonna fight Caustic, killing me.
He would.
So Lifeline's going to look after Zelda.
Yeah.
Just because it's Lifeline.
Yeah.
And then I'd go... Oh, I'd probably want to fight...
Caustic or Pathfinder?
I'd want to fight Caustic because I think Pathfinder's got better lines.
Yeah.
It's just very, you know, I think it'd be funny.
I'd
camp with Pathfinder.
And he'd be able to get you up somewhere nice and high.
We can make a tree out of camp. We can actually have something good.
Nice. So, you're fighting Caustic, though.
Yeah.
You know? Brave move,
gas
mate.
Right out.
Brave move.
Don't care, mate.
And finally, Pikachu, Squirtle, and Charmander.
Oh, no.
Who's looking after the baby?
None of them. Fucking hell. No, right. Okay, I would fight Squirtle because I can use water to my advantage. I would let Pikachu look
I
after
thought you'd go with Pikachu
Zelda,
look after
maybe. Just because...
Bit ditzy, though.
Ditzy might electrocute her, but... Seems the most
was a
sensible.
Zap. Was a zap was between a zap, friends, eh?
Yeah. Just a bit of a spark. And then you've got, I'd go camping with Charmander because obviously fire can, you know, easily spark one up with a bit of, you know, fire breathing.
Sweet, yeah. Campfire, mate. That's a great idea.
Sensible, mate.
And
Squirtle's
just
survival.
He's just a turtle, isn't he? So you could just
turtle seed, right.
Pick him up, throw him away.
You know kick I mean? Him in the shell.
Right, ideal. There is your final Rise Randoms on the final Pixie Partner app. And we move on to the thought of the day.
Yeah.
And the end of the show. And the thought of the day is, number one, thank you for putting so much time into Pixie Partner app specifically.
Sorry,
the podcast in the future and stuff will require less of Luke's time, but literally you won't have seen on the camera, obviously, but Luke's been putting in hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of time.
Outside.
All beyond the podcast, which is far more than even anyone else has done for the podcast, which is really, really good. And I've thoroughly enjoyed the whole thing, mate.
So but have I, mate.
The thought of the day, definitely today, is that obviously I'm more than happy to be stopping the podcast for a month because you're turning into a father, mate.
Daddy-o.
And obviously, I don't think anyone's going to be blessed with having a better dad than
oh,
Zelda,
cheers,
that's for
mate.
Sure. And I think that, you know, you're going to fucking nail it, mate.
So I hope so.
Thank
this
you very
happen.
Much.
No,
and
thank you,
we'll
buddy.
See Luke in a month.
In a month, when I'm 28.
Nice one, mate.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.